Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, what a pleasure it is in the city that only wins, Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening or watching, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. Miami Joy Taylor is in the house today. What a night. Last two nights of baseball at the iconic Fenway Park and at Dodger Stadium. Last night was nerve-wracking. Baseball owned the night. It was, you know, Joy and I were talking about this. When you live in Los Angeles, much like Boston or St. Louis or New York, Los Angeles, there's four or five baseball cities in America where families have gone for generations. And as I was watching the Dodgers last night, it hit me. I thought, here we were in this intense game, and very few people had a beer or a soda or food in their hand. Why? You could not get up. These people are baseball fans. I was everybody. Nobody was leaving their seats. You could not leave your seats. We were going to have a classic two Hall of Fame pitcher duel. A single hit or a moment could change the night. It was so fantastic.
You weren't there to be seen.
You were there to see.
And it was a moment.
It was. Baseball won the night. Dodger Stadium, iconic as it always is, was packed. It often is on the biggest nights. It was 40-year-old Adam Wainwright. 40 years old. 400-plus career starts. And one of the proudest baseball franchises, the St. Louis Cardinals, said, "Sir, can you extend our season?" He tried. And then there was Max Scherzer, great as a Tiger, great as a National, bounced around more, he'll be a Hall of Famer too. Max Scherzer, though, at 37 years old, did not have his best stuff. Oh, he was good, and he's going to be a Hall of Famer. But he didn't have great stuff, but at 37 years old, he's been in so many big spots and so many big games, he got the outs that were needed. It never looked easy. The Dodgers fall behind 1-0. And they needed every bit of their roster to win last night. So who else but Justin Turner? Sometimes he looks like an unmade bet of a dude. But if you ask anybody in Los Angeles, if there's one batter you'd want at the plate in the bottom of the ninth in Game 7, it's Justin Turner. A professional baseball hitter and my favorite Dodger, he tied the game at 1. That's in the fourth. We go to the fifth. And Scherzer now is in more trouble. Two runners on, and the Dodgers go to the bullpen. Joe Kelly, who's had a sensational season, an embattled career, and one of the nastiest curves you'll ever see, used it to get out of a very tough jam. The Dodgers' bullpen on the night was magnificent. Five relievers, no runs surrendered against a very potent offense. And as Cody Bellinger has struggled all year, the former MVP, he had a very big night. Stolen bases, couple of hits. We go to the ninth, still tied. Bellinger, and again, he's very prone for the long ball. But it was stealing bases and singles last night. He gets on in the ninth, and here comes Chris Taylor, who has had a lousy month. Chris Taylor didn't even start. And here's Chris Taylor with a walk-off to send the Dodgers to the Giants series. They've never met in the postseason before. They will now.
On 2-1, Taylor. Fly ball to left and deep and done! Chris Taylor, a walk-off home run. The Dodgers are walking off to San Francisco. They win the wild card. 3-1. Here comes Taylor to the plate. They are mobbing him. The crowd is going crazy. The Dodgers advance to the National League Division Series with one mighty swing by Chris Taylor.
Chris Taylor, who'd had an awful month hitting, and Justin Turner, and Cody Bellinger, and Joe Kelly, and the rest of the bullpen, and Max Scherzer. This is not a rest on your laurels city. It's highly competitive in television, in tech, in entertainment, in agriculture, and in sports. It's LeBron factor. He came to town and everybody ramped it up. Right now, Los Angeles is the winningest pro sports city in America. The Rams win, and the Dodgers win, and the Lakers win, and the Clippers win, and now the Chargers are winning. And the reason they're winning is because very smart front offices who have been very shrewdly aggressive and spent the money that this market enables you to spend. And the Dodgers needed every dollar last night to get by a great franchise and probably the second greatest pitcher. You seam heads know the answer behind Bob Gibson in St. Louis Cardinals history. Magnificent night. Baseball gave us urgency. And when it does, it steals the night. Great win for the Dodgers. They extend the series to San Francisco. They have never met the Giants in the postseason. So these singular playoff games are odd. I'm not a huge fan. I don't think baseball's about a game. I think it's about a volume of games. It's about duration, longevity, a staff. It's about variables and elements that make a great baseball team, which the Dodgers needed all of last night. But the Dodgers were put in a position because the only team better in baseball than them was in their division, and they needed last night to win to face the Giants. They are favored, should be, as that will be as good a baseball series outside of the World Series as we've had in several years. So I want to talk about that. This is interesting. Speaking of aggressive, it used to be in America, you could be a car dealer, and nothing wrong with car dealers. We love Mercedes. You could be a car dealer, and that was enough money to own a sports franchise. Larry Miller, Utah Jazz. Marge Schott, I think, was a car dealer. The Holt family with the San Antonio Spurs. They had a Caterpillar dealership. They bought a team selling Caterpillars. And those businesses, what are those businesses about? Customer service, loyalty, patience. Bottom line, making deals. Now sports and teams are way more expensive. Cowboys went on the market tomorrow. Don't believe anybody. Don't even believe Forbes. They'd sell for over $10 billion on the global market. Now teams are often owned by tech and hedge fund owners, right? Now, what are those businesses like? Aggressive, changing every 15 minutes, fluid. And the people that come from those industries, Mark Cuban, Steve Ballmer, Joe Tsai of the Nets, and David Tepper of Carolina, what do? Money's never an issue, and they're aggressive to a fault. And if you're a fan out there and you have a new owner, cross your fingers that he comes from tech or hedge funds. Because the kind of personalities that flourish in those industries are aggressive people. Steve Ballmer has completely changed the expectations, the veneer, and the image of the LA Clippers. And he did it quickly. I mean, really quickly. And the Nets, KD, Harden, Kyrie, Blake Griffin. The Carolina Panthers now are going to be perhaps the LA Rams East, hyper-aggressive. They went out in the last week and traded for C.J. Henderson and Stephon Gilmore, two very, very good corners. And I love what this does to an organization, whether it's the Clippers, whether it's the Nets. By the way, the Milwaukee Bucks, hedge fund owner, what did they do in the offseason? They went and got P.J. Tucker, Drew Holiday. They were already good. They were already favored in the East. What I think happens when you get tech owners, when you get hedge fund owners, these are people, it's not about customer service and loyalty. It's aggressive businesses that are changing rapidly, that you have to be able to pivot quickly. And they bring that culture to their teams. And so when I saw that yesterday by Carolina, I thought, if you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan or a Brooklyn Nets fan or a Clipper fan or a Carolina Panther fan or a Dallas Maverick fan, that's what you want from your owner. Because whatever that person, he or she, the culture they made their money in, they will bring that to your franchise? Did you ever think in your life you'd say, yeah, the Milwaukee Bucks are champions and really aggressive? Well, they're kind of a small market team. Yeah, you just make things happen. So I think it's a very exciting time for some of these smaller market teams that are a little, let's be honest, nobody's going to sell the Rams anytime soon to the New York Giants. The teams that you can occasionally buy are like a Tampa Bay Rays or a Carolina Panthers or smaller market teams, right? You don't have these generational owners. So a very exciting time for some teams in this sport. And Carolina, it's very interesting. They do not care. They have become the opposite of the Packers. They hire their coach. They pay their staff. They get the best coordinator. They get Sam Darnold. They wanted to get Matt Stafford. They acknowledged yesterday, we're not done before the trading deadline. We have made multiple calls on offensive linemen. We are not done. I love this for fans. Nothing worse than static owner. Money, bottom line, every deal. Open the wallet. It's fun. I'm going to say something nice about Baker Mayfield. No need to rush into that. What else do I have today? Oh, can I defend Aaron Boone and Dave Roberts? And it's not a popular position. You fans are so unrealistic. I mean, I'm going to have to scold you on this. Uncle Colin is at wit's end with the constant whining about Dave Roberts of the Dodgers. They've been to three of the last four World Series, right? I checked this morning. It's called Google. Are you people out of your mind? We'll talk about that coming up and the impatience and why fans always blame the manager.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You are now entering the No Bull Zone, sponsored by Credible. Great rates with none of the bull. Credible. So the last 2 days, all I've heard, and baseball fans do this, the solution is always blame the manager. Instead of acknowledging your bullpen isn't good, acknowledging some of your big acquisitions aren't great. So Aaron Boone is suddenly no good, despite the fact that the Yankees went and acquired Joey Gallo, who can't hit. 160, 88 strikeouts in 58 games. That's not Aaron Boone's fault. He can't hit for him. And Dave Roberts cracks me up. Dave Roberts, in the fifth inning last night, pulled Max Scherzer. And as I was sitting on the couch, my thing was, good call. He doesn't have his best stuff. And Scherzer's great. And Scherzer wasn't happy. But Max, because he's a Hall of Famer, was just getting through. You could ask him. He didn't have his best stuff. He was just what a Hall of Famer does. He was just getting through innings. Couldn't spot his pitches. And two runners on, and this was going to be a game where you could not blow an inning. They already fell behind. They're at home. You can't blow an inning. So they bring in Joe Kelly, who, again, had a great year. Nasty curve, and it got them out of the jam. And then they went eventually to Kenley Jansen, who had a bad year last year. This year was phenomenal. This is the second-best bullpen in baseball, and two of the five relievers, the one in crisis and the one to close it, are two of their best. Folks, Greg Popovich, remember we used to call him the best coach in the NBA when Phil Jackson retired? Hasn't won a playoff series since 2017. Last 2 years, can't even get to the playoffs, and half the NBA gets to the playoffs. He can't even get to the playoffs. Bill Belichick can no longer win home football games. Forget big road playoff games. Bill can't win at home. You're as good as your talent. Last night, the decision. This was a game. And remember, Dave Roberts has massive expectations from ownership. He's got a huge payroll. That in itself is a component you deal with in a locker room. Highly compensated players. You're walking on some eggshells with some egos. It's an incredibly deep roster. You've got to keep people happy. He dealt with major injuries to the staff. Cody Bellinger was hurt. Mookie Betts was hurt. Bellinger had a bad year. Again, this is a tightrope. It's a 162-game season. A player turns on you in May, you may lose the locker room. The late Billy Martin always said, in a baseball locker room, 10 guys love me and 10 guys hate me. I try to keep the 5 guys that are undecided away from the 10 guys who hate me. And Roberts has it's Joe Torre. It's a kind of avuncular, an uncle, a fatherly sort of personality. Intense when he has to be, demanding infrequently, But go look at the NFL standings this morning. Let's start with the AFC. You're going to see a trend here. If you go look at the NFL standings, let's see who leads the AFC East. Oh, they have the best quarterback, Josh Allen. Who leads the AFC North? Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow. In my opinion, the two most talented quarterbacks. Who leads the AFC South? Right now, the quarterback playing the best, Ryan Tannehill. Who leads the AFC West? Well, Mahomes is one game out, but it's Herbert who's playing great, Derek Carr who's playing great, and Mahomes is one game out. Let's go to the NFC standings. Oh, this is remarkable. Who's leading those standings? Dak Prescott, the best quarterback in his division. Aaron Rodgers, the best quarterback in his division. Tom Brady, the best quarterback in his division. By the way, Sam Darnold is second. He's playing second best. And Kyler Murray, right now, is playing the best football in his division. You're as good as your players. You got to have closers. You got to have talent. The bottom line is, Dave Roberts, everybody thinks, give me all the good players, and I'll just insert them. Folks, you could see how upset Max Scherzer was when you pulled him out of the game. That's the eggshells. That's the tightrope of managing Hall of Fame pitchers. And Scherzer's going to be a Hall of Famer. Great with Detroit. Great with Washington. These are tough conversations. They leave marks. Scherzer wouldn't give him the ball. He shook his hand. This stuff is hard. And, you know, you guys all want to eat baseball managers alive. It's not Aaron Boone's fault. The front office signed Giancarlo Stanton, who's the same player as Aaron Judge, just older and more expensive. And they signed Joey Gallo, who can't hit. And they paid a fortune for him. I'm off my soapbox. I'm defending managers and coaches. You're as good as your talent. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line
News. By the way, Tommy Lasorda recently passed away. 20 years Dodger manager. Won two World Series, and they had great staffs, and he had Hall of Famers. It is, and by the way, the Dodgers, the best team in baseball this year, is in the Dodgers division. So, I mean, like, they had things not go their way. The Giants massively overperformed.
Who were we talking about yesterday? We were talking about this yesterday, about firing the coach. I can't remember what it was, but it's, yeah, like, you can't, that's the
Matt
easy
Nagy.
Solution. I think it was Matt Nagy.
Run Matt Nagy off, and then give Justin Fields in his second year new playbook, new coordinator, new coach,
right.
Like, he got Mitch Trubisky twice to the playoffs.
Well, because it's not as easy to move players around. So
that's
while
right.
It may generally be on the players, and sometimes it is the coach. Sometimes
yeah.
The coach is not
capable. Yeah, we have bad
capable.
Coaches. Yeah.
There's bad coaches, but it's not always the solution. So the Steelers are off to a poor start this season, and the offense has been under a lot of scrutiny during the three-game losing streak. Mike Tomlin has even been asked if Ben is the right quarterback for the team. Ben's dealing with a hip injury. And he's not making any excuses and expects to be better going forward.
I need to be better. I need to fight through and figure out how to make better decisions, how to make better throws, how to, be a better football player. And that's why I just said I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep doing that. It's still early, and there's still a lot of fight left in us.
Yeah, well, you can say that stuff. It doesn't.
Well, the be a better football player thing is a little confusing to me because Ben is not a young man. Like, you know how to play football.
Yeah.
You know how to play winning football. You've been in this league a long time. So it's not about, not that you ever stop improving, obviously, but at this point, it's
very
obvious.
Well, I think you do. I think you stop improving when you get older. You plateau, and if you can, like, Brady's not improving. He's just maintaining as much of his greatness as he can.
Well, I think Brady, first of all, Brady's cracked the code. So I don't like to put Brady he's in a separate category. And while I do think there are more athletes following that Brady, LeBron, you know, style of maintaining your body and spending a lot of money on your body. Russell Wilson is obviously someone we always bring up. Until I see this happen again, Brady is going to be an outlier in that physical space for a long time. Yeah. And the same with LeBron. They just have unrealistic, ridiculous longevity.
Been declining for 4 years.
Right. So my thing with Ben is it's not that I don't think that Ben doesn't know how to play football, that he's making bad decisions. I think his body is limiting him on making the throws and playing the way that he has played in the past.
And
it's not a mental thing at this
never
point.
He's never been an efficient quarterback. He has been a talented quarterback. But he was never, 72% completion percentage. He threw his picks. He's a home run hitter. He's Cody Bellinger of the Dodgers. He's a home run hitter. You ask him to hit singles. He has games, But you have him there because he gives you power. And Ben gave you the great deep ball, the big play. And even Tomlin said it yesterday, can't move anymore. So now you take out the movement and you're left with an inefficient non-mover. You can't win in the NFL in 2021. There's just too many good players. I mean, good God, just look at their division. Look at the quarterbacks in their division
right.
now.
And because they can't run the ball, they have to rely on Ben to throw more than he should be throwing. Realistically, you'd want a more balanced offense for an older quarterback because you don't have to have over-the-top, you know, big play capability to win in this league consistently if you have a balanced offense and your defense is able to keep you in the game as well. So it's a matter of they're relying on Ben too much. His body is not capable of doing what he used to be able to do. And their running game is horrific,
yeah.
which is not going to work in the AFC North. It's not working now. Imagine when the weather starts getting bad and you yeah. really can't move the ball at all. They have the worst rushing offense, 55.3 rushing yards per game in the league right now.
Yeah.
They have the 28th ranked rushing grade and 27th ranked run blocking grade this season. So they're not getting anything going in the run game and relying on Ben, who's not physically capable of doing it. So after the Chargers beat the Raiders on Monday night, Joey Bosa made some critical comments about Derek Carr. Not very nice.
Yeah, good mean.
I just thought it was unfortunate that he'd even think to say it. Maybe he's just trying to get under my skin, which he did piss me off. So good job for that. but that's not a bad thing either.
Bosa said that Carr looked shook after getting hit, and once they put pressure on him, they knew he could shut down and not be as effective in the pocket. I don't have any problem with Bosa saying that.
Well,
first of all, say what you want. You're the winners, so that's fine with me. And he was hit 8 times, Derek Carr, and sacked 4 times, which affected the game. Like, that's we talked about this yesterday. Nobody likes getting hit. I don't want to get hit by a Bosa brother. Like, that's not going to be it's not a good recipe for winning the game, getting hit that many times and allowing your quarterback to be under duress. Now, I think they'll be fine, and John Gruden talked about not panicking about the offensive line, but they do need to fix that, especially they look like they could be contenders this year. So not going to work, especially going into later in the season, if he's going to continue to get hit that
way.
Yeah,
Colton Miller's a really good offensive lineman. After that, it's not he's their guy. After that, it's a little spotty, but I love the Raiders this week. I love the Raiders in the game this week.
Well, speaking of that, yesterday, Justin Fields was named the Bears' starting quarterback going forward, and he's taking his new role very seriously. I think you'll like this, Colin. I don't know if you heard this yet. He and his family wanted to celebrate. His parents were in town, and they got the news, obviously. They wanted to celebrate their son being announced the starter of the Chicago Bears, a very big deal, and he had other plans.
My parents were actually at my house last night. I told them, and they wanted to go out to celebrate, and I told him, nah, I'm cool. I mean, of course, there's, you know, some reason to celebrate, but, you know, I'm not just going to be complacent with where I'm at. I'm going to continue to grow, continue to get better, and just try to work hard each and every day to, you know, get wins on Sunday. So.
They didn't go out without you?
They went out without me, yeah. So.
Were you just home alone?
I was just home, yeah, with my dog, Uno, watching film last night. So that's all I was doing.
And by the way, when you're a quarterback, if you want to be a social butterfly, you're not going to be a quarterback in the NFL. From August 1st to February, hopefully, I know a lot of you will like, I got to get out and party. No. You can do that. This is what a franchise quarterback has to do. Stay home with your dog and watch film. That is the responsibility to be the face of a franchise. That's an adult. That's a grown-up. That's understanding, not doing 38 commercials and getting chunky in the offseason. It is... This is what you do. You stay home, you watch film, you are representing the franchise. It's the biggest moment in your career. That's an adult. That is why I'm so hard on quarterbacks.
Yeah.
When I see Jameis Winston or Baker, Johnny Manziel show me in immaturity in college and I crush him, or Zach Wilson, I seem to be careless and a little cocky with the ball. That's why I crush him. Can't be. This is a grown-up position. It is unfair, but the reality of the NFL quarterback, you are asked to have the maturity of a 45-year-old man at 23.
Yep.
That sucks, but that's the game. So that's why I crushed Jameis in college, crushed Baker, crushed Cam, crushed Johnny. And I always said, it's not a talent thing. You're not ready to run a franchise.
It's a lot of responsibility.
Yes.
And the conversation about why he wasn't the starter to begin with was because he was, quote-unquote, not ready, right? That's why Andy Dalton was out there, so because Andy wasn't going to make those mistakes, and Andy's a veteran. Well, this is what the job is, and to your point, it's not fair, but there's also some perks that come with being the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears. And sometimes it's grind time, and then you can celebrate and have, you know, dinner with your parents in the offseason. Now, there's nothing wrong with having dinner with your parents. But this is this, and we in the media, we love this stuff, right? Like, he's a grinder. But there is something to this.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Like, you only have so much time in the day, and how you use it is important.
We talk about this all the time. Being a little nerdy is kind of an asset for quarterbacks. It really is. Justin Herbert, by the way, Patrick Mahomes is great at this. I know people that know Patrick, and he's a total homebody.
Yeah.
Like, he'll go to a big fight, and so back on the plane, get home. Like, Patrick Mahomes loves football, loves his wife, the baby, family. It's like, the biggest turnoff for me is when I see a quarterback that wants to be cool. I'm like, not interested. I just talked to a buddy the other day. I said, it's such a turnoff to me.
But anybody who gets a little bit of shine or a little bit of clout or a little bit of responsibility and space and power and then immediately tries to elevate that beyond what it is, we're always cautious of, because you have to earn that, right? You earn your respect. Right. You earn your space in that area. And when you're putting in work, that pays off in the long run. And it's all like nerdy and boring and like everyone's rolling their eyes right now. But this is how it goes. Like, it's a process, and I like that he said that.
Yeah, so do I. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. We bring on NFL reporter, Monday morning quarterback Albert Breer. You know, we were talking about this. The game tonight. So when Matt Stafford went to the Rams and left the Lions, Vegas did not change anything. Lions were 5-win team with Stafford. They were 5 with Goff. The Rams were a 10-win team projected with Goff, 10.5 with Stafford. Well, through 4 games, he's had 1 great one, 2 OKs, and a bad one. And tonight's interesting. He goes on the road. So last week, he is the second best quarterback in a game in his division against Kyler Murray.
Yep.
If he goes on the road again tonight and looks like the second best quarterback, my takeaway is, Albert, well, then it's just a little better than Jared Goff. Because that's what I always felt with Goff. He was the second best quarterback in all these division games. So I feel like Matt Stafford, this is a big game for him tonight. I know it's early, but it feels substantial.
And it's on the road and a tough place to play against a team that should be desperate for a win. The Seahawks come in 1-3. They absolutely have to have this one. So, you know, I'm with you. I think this is a big spot for Matthew Stafford, especially coming off of a loss and seeing how he responds to that. And look, Colin, like, I don't think we're under any illusion that they got Matthew Stafford for September and October. That was an acquisition for January and February, when Sean McVay felt like, with defenses game planning against him specifically and game planning against the quarterback specifically, he needs somebody who could do a little bit more. But, you know, I think we can make some assessments on where they are in September and October as they build towards January and February. And so, yeah, I mean, this feels like a big spot because, you know, again, hostile environment, a proud franchise that needs this win, and a superstar quarterback on the other side. And so we're either going to come out of this one saying, yeah, you know, Matthew Stafford bounced back, the Rams are where they need to be, or, man, like, you know, were we hoping for a little bit more out of this acquisition by LA?
Let's talk about Justin Fields. I tend to be start the old guy. A lot of people want to start the young guy. But what I would caution everybody in Chicago with today is now, and we do this in baseball, where every manager with every pitching change should be let go. And I look at Trubisky getting to the playoffs twice with Matt Nagy, a young Trubisky, and I think, I don't worry about Matt Nagy, but the next 4 games for the Bears, Albert, these are losses. The angry Raiders, a couple of at Tampa, and so these you can't look at this with wins. You have to have perspective on Justin Fields. What are you hearing and your thoughts on what we should expect in the next month? Because I don't think we're seeing W's for Chicago.
Well, and I think I've been through this with you before, Colin. The difference with this year's class versus most quarterback classes is that 3 of the 5 guys went to teams that have been in the playoffs really recently and had reason to think that they were contenders. And Matt Nagy's dealing with a locker room with guys like Khalil Mack, like Robert Quinn, like Eddie Jackson, proud veteran players. So going with Andy Dalton was always about the other 51 guys in the roster, not those 2 quarterbacks. And I think part of the process here for Matt Nagy and company was convincing the locker room that Justin Fields was the right guy, and they had to let that happen naturally. And I think what you've seen, and having talked to Matt Nagy after the game on Sunday, this is sort of what I took away from it. The improvement from week one to week two, and the job that the coaches did in finding ways to get more out of Justin Fields week one to week two, what he looked like versus the Browns, what he looked like versus the Lions, I think proved to people in that locker room, we can manage some of the things that we're going to have to go through with a rookie quarterback in exchange for getting that higher ceiling with Justin Fields. And so, you know, could they get knocked around a little bit in the next couple of weeks? Sure. But I think as much as anything else, having talked to Matt and some of the other coaches there, this really was about the improvement week over week. And that really kind of showed the rest of the team there is a higher ceiling that we can pursue here, and we can do it while managing some of the shortfalls that having a rookie quarterback in there is going to bring.
I thought the Seahawks would go after Stephon Gilmore. Of their few draft picks, they took a corner last year, a smaller corner. He has not played of note yet. Instead, it was Carolina who drafted J.C. Horn, who got C.J. Henderson. I thought it was a super aggressive move. What did you make? There's a lot. I mean, let's be honest. Outside the Rams, everybody in the league wants a corner. What did you make of Carolina getting it?
Well, I mean, the first thing I think we have to mention here, and this could affect the trade deadline too in a month, is the cap situation most teams are in. This is because of COVID, Colin. 20 of the of the 32 teams in the league have less than $6 million in cap space this morning. Stephon Gilmore, you acquire him, you're taking on $5.8 million. So almost every team that New England had talked to and tried to peddle him to would have had to do some things to make space for him and push some of those cap charges further down the line. And we know COVID's going to affect the cap next year as well. And so I think that's a big part of why there wasn't more of a market for him. I think what the Panthers are doing here, Colin, is twofold. Number one, this is Matt Rhule sending a message to his locker room. We believe we can win right now. Even coming off of that loss against Dallas, we think we have a defense that can be elite. We think we've got enough with Christian McCaffrey coming back on offense. The team has an identity. It's a tough group of players. We think that we're a contender right now. So that's number one, sending that message to your locker room. Number two, they've invested a lot in the corner position. And even if Stephon Gilmore isn't the guy he was a couple of years ago when he was Defensive Player of the Year, do you know what sort of benefit J.C. Horn and C.J. Henderson, and even though Horn's hurt right now, what those two guys are going to get from being around Stephon Gilmore? So from a player development standpoint, they're able to do this and say, okay, we're going to bring in a guy who we think's a good player still, but even if the injury holds him back, even if his age holds him back a little bit, we've got young players in the building that are a big part of our future that we believe are going to benefit from having this guy around.
Yeah, and good stuff. All right, Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback. I know your Buckeyes are not looking as good as you'd like them to, and the Big Ten's never been better. So I just want you to bring your expectations down, Albert. As you head into the weekend.
I think the sleeping giant might have woken up on Saturday, Colin. I know a lot of people didn't watch that Rutgers game, but that looks like a totally different team.
All right. Okay, Albert. Michigan's for real. This could be the year. Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback. I'm going to say something nice about Baker Mayfield. It will be brief, but I think it needs to be said. You know, it's so nice to live in a city with winners. Isn't it?
It is.
I feel good today.
It's a good energy.
It's a great energy, just winning everywhere.
It's just like postseason baseball is so romantic.
And it's intense. I'm telling you, the Dodger Stadium, those fans, I don't know why this jumped out to me. Nobody had a beer.
Yeah, nobody was trying to watch what's going on.
People weren't leaving. Nobody was leaving their seat for 3.5 hours. Like, it was just everybody was glued. You watch some of these baseball games.
I know, like, you don't like the one game playoff, but like that's why.
No.
Like, the urgency is
right. I think it's ridiculous, but I do get why they're doing it.
Yeah,
it totally sucked me in. Baseball from 5 o'clock yesterday till 8:30 at night. Then I took some Robitussin and slept like a bear. I hibernated for 9 hours.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Faherty was founded by twin brothers. Family business, best-looking clothes, backed by a lifetime guarantee of quality. 20% off. Go to FahertyBrand.com/herd. I love their stuff. Good to have you. I'm almost through this thing, by the way. Greg Cosell, top of next hour. 15 best minutes of the week. Greg Cosell, top of next hour. I'm almost through it.
You sound better.
Fever's gone. Head cold's better. Moved into my chest. A lot of Robitussin. Going to get through this thing. A little hibernation last night.
Did you get the chicken noodle soup?
I'm going to get the chicken noodle soup today, by the way.
It's going to fix you right up.
It fixes me right up. So, listen, I try to be fair. Now, I'm very critical. And I remember years ago, I always tell the story, my mom was not that adaptable to the internet. She's an old British woman at the time and said, I hear you're very controversial. She had a friend. She said, Norma, my friend, says you're very controversial. And I told my mother, I said, fan is short for fanatic. If you don't tell fans what they want to hear, they get very angry, very visceral. I said, I'm not controversial. I'm outspoken and I give strong opinions with not a lot of wiggle room, and that bothers people. You know, I've always said about Baker Mayfield and Johnny Manziel and Jameis Winston and Cam Newton, if I see immaturity in college, it's a huge turnoff. Not saying you're not a franchise quarterback. I have no interest you being mine. Get boring, Zach Wilson. Stop being loose with the football, Zach Wilson. I don't want to show off. I want a franchise quarterback. But Baker Mayfield now has a legitimate coach, appears to have an excellent general manager, still don't trust ownership, but the roster's good, they're not paying him anything, so it's important for Cleveland now to decipher, is he the guy? And I think this needs to be reported, that Baker Mayfield suffered a partially torn labrum in his left shoulder back in September against the Texans. He has been wearing a shoulder harness to play. Now, he has good protection, a great running game, but if you're a pro athlete and are playing with a torn labrum, even if it's not in your throwing arm, I think it needs to be acknowledged. Baker's career has overwhelmingly been proving doubters wrong, a little short, not the athlete, was a walk-on a couple times in college. I think he has a chip on his shoulder and a toughness that is important for that position, and it's serving him very well. I said before this season, and this goes for every industry, your bosses will decide what they're going to do with you at least a year before they tell you. I came into this season and I said, the Giants will decide by Thanksgiving what's up with Daniel Jones. I believe the Giants have decided Daniel Jones is not the problem. Over his last 8 to 10 games, he has dramatically cut down on turnovers. He played very well on the road, beating the Saints. I think privately the Giants feel, we've got our guy. We can win with him. 6'5", pretty athletic. He's cut down on his biggest liability. Now, with Baker Mayfield, I think the lean is to pay him a bunch of money. In Los Angeles, the standards are greater. Everybody wins here. You got to be competitive. We don't rest on our laurels. Jared Goff got to a Super Bowl. They bailed on him. In Los Angeles, Baker wouldn't get re-signed. Josh Allen would. Herbert would. But it's Los Angeles. But this is Cleveland. And I do think Baker is a winning quarterback now, and it's going to be hard to move off him. But I will say this. The next 8 weeks are going to determine a lot. Because not only does Cleveland play good teams, but in the next 8 weeks, they face Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, Mac Jones, Lamar Jackson twice. What does that mean? Side by side with young quarterbacks. And Andrew Berry, the general manager, is going to be upstairs looking at Kyler's possessions. And now it's Baker's turns and Justin Herbert's possessions. And now it's Baker's turn and it's Lamar. And if Baker doesn't stack up, the eyes don't lie and he's not winning games, he'll be in trouble. Because the litmus test is not the first 2 years when he didn't have the right coach. It is now. And it's not beating Pittsburgh. Big Ben's an old man. It's a bad team. How does he look? Because once you pay him big money, the roster tends to decline. You're not going to have free agent right tackles that are Pro Bowl level players. You can't just go get an interior defensive lineman or a pass rusher or have Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham and Austin Hooper. And you don't get the ands. You can't go get a John Johnson. Your roster declines. You need more from the quarterback. So I think the next 8 weeks, when you have these young star quarterbacks side by side with Baker, how does he stack up? Now, my gut feeling is Baker's going to play well. He'll get re-signed, but it'll be interesting. If Kyler Murray looks fantastic and Justin Herbert is amazing and he faces Herbert this week and Lamar Jackson and they're all coming out and Baker's throwing up a few more of those Viking games, that's where people have to make decisions. Now, Cleveland's standard is not very high. It's not. And it's going to be very hard to move off a playoff quarterback. It's very tough in Cleveland. It's very easy in Los Angeles. They moved off a Super Bowl quarterback. They move off stars here all the time. They moved off Shaq. Literally, they moved off Shaq when he was still near his prime. That's what you do in big cities like L.A. because a lot of people want to play here. And there's a lot of money to go get who you want to get. All right, Greg Cosell, as you know, is great. And he is going to be joining us in hour two. Also, Greg Olson today. Can't wait for that.